Let us take the word of God this morning, and we will go to John chapter number 4, the gospel according to John chapter 4. In just a moment, I want us to begin in verse number 1, and we will read down all the way to verse number 30 this morning. I began a series a few weeks ago on worship. What does it mean to really worship God? Brethren, I want you to know that God has made us to be worshipers. We are called to worship our Heavenly Father. And when we think of worship, it has everything to do with our view of God. May I ask you this morning, what is your view of God? Vance Havner said, the most important thing about your life is what you think about God. Not what do you know about God, not academics, that God created the heavens and the earth and different truths that you might know of God. And by the way, the Bible reveals God to us. But what do you personally think about God? Some people think God has not been fair to them. Some people think that God has not been as good to them as he has been to other people. Some people think that God is like an old gentleman in heaven, not able to cope with the issues of life. Some people think God is like a police officer and ready to blow the whistle on them when they do something wrong. But that is not our God. What is God to you? You say, well, Pastor, how important is my view of God? It's everything about your life. In fact, our view of God determines everything else about our lives. The problems that you and I have in our lives are because of our view of God or a lack of our view of God. I have a book in my office, in my study, written by a man that is a great author, and the title of the book is Your God is Too Small. To some people, their view of God is that God is not able, when the Bible tells us that he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Does God not understand what we are dealing with in life? Does God not deal with the modern issues that we face today? You see, the place that you and I give to God in our lives determines the place for everything else. If God is not in his proper place, meaning this, if we do not see God as he truly is, high, holy, and lifted up, and that he is the God that makes no mistakes, that he is the God that is just, and the God of righteousness, and the God that loves us and cares for us. If we do not see God as that, then everything else will be off base in our life. You see, may I say this to you, if God is not in his proper place in our lives, and we do not view him as he should be viewed, then nothing else will work in your life. Nothing. In fact, because many of us have been so long away from the proper view of God, it's going to take something very special to work in our lives to get us to see right. Kind of reminds me of the story that I heard about some people. They were flying an airplane, and it seemed to be going a little longer than what they imagined. And all of a sudden, the pilot came over and announced, and he said this, "Folks, we are lost, but we are making good time, all right?" You know, some people are like that in their Christian life. They have no idea what they're doing, but they're making good time doing it. Brethren, if we lose our view of God and we are not worshiping him, and by the way, you cannot worship God properly unless you see God for who he really is. This morning, I want to preach on this subject, a true worshiper of the living God. Are you a true worshiper of God? Now, let me start by saying this. Without Jesus Christ, and therefore without a part of the family of God, you cannot worship God. Only the saved can worship God, because it is the Spirit of God within us who enables us to worship God as he should be worshiped. So today, the question that I have for you, are you and am I a true worshiper of the living God? Now, let's look at a great story in the Bible about a woman. We call her the woman at the well. And the woman at the well came to the well at a time when other ladies did not come. She was embarrassed about her lifestyle, and she should have been. She was not living right, and she was lost and without Jesus Christ, and she was an outcast in society. And she came at the well at noonday, the hottest part of the day. The other ladies did not come at that time, but that's when she came. But our Savior, He must needs go through Samaria. And the Bible says that He found her. And by the way, He was looking for her. He knew what time she would be there. And Jesus came. In fact, He was waiting on her to get there. Let's read the story. John chapter 4 and verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now let me stop, and I want to say this to you. The Lord is dealing with her, and He is drawing her unto Himself. She is getting to the place where she's ready to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. But Jesus has to point out her sin. Do you know that no one can be saved unless they're willing to repent and confess their sin to God? Well, this woman is living in sin. And notice what the Lord does. Notice, Jesus said in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. Isn't it amazing what Christ did? He said, Okay, go home and find your husband. Now, look what the Bible says. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, I believe in verse number 19, the woman is trying to kind of take a side road here. She does not really want in a moment to deal with her sin. But the Bible says in verse 20, she continues to speak and she says, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now this story in John chapter 4, many of you know this story. This is a wonderful story of a woman who came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Here is a woman who placed her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And here is a Christ who sought after this woman. But there is a phrase that we find mentioned here, and it's a question for all of us to ask our hearts and our lives this morning. The Bible says in verse 23, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Brethren, I believe with all my heart that there are many Christians that really do not worship God. They do not worship the Lord. In fact, you know, today in our society in which we live in, when we come to church, some people want to say, well, this is the worship hour. And I understand what they mean by that. And brethren, I pray that when we come to the house of the Lord, that we do enter into the worship of the Lord. But what does it mean that we have worshiped God? Does it mean that if we feel good, that that's worship? No. Does it mean that we have heard a song and boy, it kind of put, chills up and down us and boy, we were worshiping God? That's not worship. You see, people have all kinds of ideals about what worship really is. But brethren, God has called each and every one of us to worship the true and the living God. But do we really worship the Lord? Now, I want you to notice some things in our passage here today about our worship. Now, remember, the last time that I talked about worship, we went to the book of Exodus and how that we understood that the Bible says that as Moses went to the children of Israel and he talked to them and he had been in the presence of God. Remember, the Bible says that they had bowed heads and they worshiped in reverence. And may I say this to you? When we have a reverential spirit, the fear of God in our hearts, that is when we are beginning to enter into worship of the Lord. Brethren, may God help us to worship our God. And we know that Moses, when he went and stood before Pharaoh, and by the way, God told Moses that Pharaoh was not going to let the people go until after many plagues. But yet Moses went in because he had worshiped God. He could stand in the face of Pharaoh. By the way, today I'm going to tell you what we want. We want God to kill all of our Pharaohs, do we not? We have Pharaohs in our lives. We have situations at our job. We have situations in our marriages. We have situations with our children. Pharaohs, things that are just seem insurmountable to us. Things that seem impossible to us. Things that will not give us freedom and will not let us go into joy and happiness. But brethren, God doesn't kill our Pharaohs. Can I tell you what God does? God enables us by being in His presence that He will be with us to stand up against our Pharaohs in life. I want you to notice some things here today that I believe will help us as we think about worship. Worship brings us into the presence of God. Do you know that one of the responsibilities of a pastor, and by the way, I cannot make you worship God. Did you know that? I cannot make you. Now, I can come after spending time alone with God and being in His Word and me being in the presence of God, seek to help our church enter into that worship. But brethren, when we are in the worship of God, it brings us into His presence. Look here, I can remember after I came to know Christ as my Savior, I can remember then and only then could I worship the Lord. Before that, a service to me was dead. It was boring. It was not enjoyable. The song service, I didn't care for it because I was not able to worship God. Because until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot worship the Lord. Because it's the Spirit of God within us who enables us to worship the Heavenly Father. But may I say this to you? When I came to know Jesus as my Savior, boy, things changed in my life. I became a new creature in Christ. But can I tell you what it meant for me? There is private worship, and I believe there can be corporate worship. The private worship, by the way, there must be private worship before we can worship together as a family of God in a church that we call a sanctuary here that is set apart for us to worship God. But I remember what it was like after I came to know Jesus. I remember getting my Bible the next morning. And, you know, a Bible that I'd had for a long time, but I had not read it. Oh, I'd read it just because my mom and dad made me read it. Or sometimes I would have to memorize verses because I went to a Christian school. But the Bible was nothing but academic to me. It was nothing but a book of just knowledge for me. It was nothing more. But now that morning after I came to know Jesus Christ, when I began to read God's Word, can I tell you what began to happen? God began to speak to my heart. God began to show me things in my life. And I began to praise Him for how wonderful He was and how loving He was to forgive me of all of my sins and that He was never going to leave me nor forsake me. Can I tell you that first morning I worshiped the Lord? And let me tell you something, it was wonderful. I didn't want to stop that day. I mean, I enjoyed it. At that time in high school, I had my lawn cutting business that I had. Oh, it was nothing big at all. I ran over the neck, just ran throughout the neighborhood with the push mower, you know. And that's pretty much what I did. And looking for cats as much as possible, you know. And I felt that was my responsibility. I'm kidding you, all right. You know, I tell these stories about cats. I've never heard a cat in my whole life, you know. Not that I've done on purpose or anything, you know. Not that I've done in my right mind. No, I'm kidding, all right? But can I tell you this? I began to understand just as a teenager, after being saved, what it meant to worship God. And I could worship God on my own. And I remember we lived on a dead-end street, and I would go back there to the creek, and I'd find an old rock, and I'd sit on that rock and take my Bible, and I'd talk to God, and God would speak to me through His Word, and I would worship the Lord, and I would praise Him, and I would honor Him. And that worship was wonderful. Wonderful, and it brought me into the presence of God, and it changed everything about my life. But you know what? When I came to church, boy, church was no longer coming in at the last moment and getting out at the last or at the first moment I could. And that's usually the way it was. Well, I remember sitting in church and I would look at my watch and boy, it seemed to go so long and well, I couldn't wait to get home and I just didn't really want to be there. Why? Because I couldn't worship God because Jesus Christ did not indwell me. But oh, after I got saved, I couldn't wait to get to church. I wanted to get around the people of God. Because those were my people. I was a part of their family, and I wanted to be with family members. I remember getting to church early, and here I was, just a teenager. I went around shaking people's hands. I wasn't an usher or anything, you know. I wasn't even the preacher, but I was shaking people's hands. I had no idea what I was doing. I just liked being at church. And I remember going around shaking people's hands, and boy, I remember when it was time for the preaching, man, I was excited. You know why? Because I wanted to worship the God who loved me enough to give me His only Son, to give me eternal life in heaven. But I'm afraid that there have been times since then that church and Bible reading and prayer time has become nothing but a duty. Has become nothing but, well, I've got to do this. And for some of us, we have entered into that time. And for some of us, church is nothing but, I'm supposed to go to church. It's Sunday. Brethren, church is an opportunity for us to come and us to worship the true and living God and for us to find the right perspective in life. If you do not worship God, everything else in your life is out of tune. It's out of fellowship. So let me give you some simple things here today that we find from our passage. Number one, I want you to remember this. We all worship something. I don't want you to forget that. Do you know that every one of us here in this building, you are a worshiper, but are you a worshiper of the true and living God? Let's go back to our passage in John chapter 4, because I want to show you what the Bible says here. And look what he says in verse number 21 of John 4. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." And look what he says in verse 22. "Ye worship, ye know not what." Jesus said unto her, you are worshiping something, but you don't even know what you're worshiping. Brethren, every one of us here today, there is something within our hearts. And by the way, God has called us to be worshipers. We worship. Now, sometimes we get the ideal that worship is bowing down to some false image, or worship is having allegiance to something or someone. But may I tell you that worship is what we really value. It's what we give our time and what we give our attention to. Do you know that I believe that you can even worship something that's not necessarily evil? I know of people that worship their families, and their family is everything to them. And I'm all for families, and I pray that you love your family and you work together and play together and all of that. But you can worship your family. Some parents worship their children. Some spouses worship their spouse. Some people worship their jobs. Some people worship their money. Some people worship their own bodies. And some of us worship ourselves, and we live for ourselves. Look here, we all this morning are worshiping something. We are. I wonder today, are you worshiping the true and the living God? Now, notice back in our passage, we find so many things here that we find. And notice this. This woman, she was without Jesus Christ. And notice what the Bible says here. God, the Lord told her a few things. First, notice what the Bible says. Go back to verse number 10 of John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Do you know the unsaved do not know about the gift of God? Jesus said to her, if you knew about the gift of God, do you know that that is our responsibility as God's people? We are to tell people about the gift of God. And who it is that gives the gift? It is Jesus Christ. Well, I'm amazed. This past Friday, we had that Bible club, and I talked about it there at Mechanicsburg. I'm kind of sad that school year is over, and we can't keep having the Bible club. Because I'm going to tell you something. This past week, you know, 44 high school students there. I don't even think we had one senior there. It was all high school students. And they were there, and I got up, and, I preached to them the gospel. I mean, clearly talked about heaven and hell, and talked about our sin, and the penalty of sin is death and hell. And I talked about all of that. And I wish you could see their faces. I really do. Because I saw high school students listening to me, watching me so intently. You know why? Because I'm telling them about the gift of God. I'm telling them that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them. And so many of them said, yes, I want the gift of God. And it is through Jesus Christ. Brethren, that is our responsibility. Look, we do not save anyone. We are just simply to sow the seed of God's word. We are to give the word of God. The Spirit of God is the one who brings salvation. But we are to share the gift of God. And by the way, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you of you, who are we to tell people about? We're to tell them about Jesus Christ and that he offers that gift of God. And by the way, the Lord Jesus is the seeking Savior. Do you know that? He seeks after us. You know something? The truth is, I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. And this woman didn't find Jesus. Jesus found her. And anyone here this morning, you didn't seek after God on your own. Jesus Christ sought after you. He hunted you down, and he hunts us down. And by the way, he is still the seeking Savior. He seeks in us to that desire to worship our Heavenly Father. God knows about our lives that we are going to worship something. And what you worship this morning says everything about your life. But when we worship the true and living God, when we enter into that presence of the Lord and we are honoring Him, look, you know what worship does? It purifies us. It cleanses us. It helps us to have the right perspective in life. Look, have you ever thought wrong in life? All of us have at times, have we not? We've got a wrong ideal about life and we're thinking wrong about God. But can I tell you what worship does? It helps us to see God for who He really is, and it exalts God in our lives. By the way, in the book of Revelation, it talks about that one day around the throne, you know what we'll be doing? Worshiping the Lamb of God. In fact, do you know that back in the book of Revelation, we won't turn there for time's sake, there's all kinds of singing going on and there's all kinds of things. But you know what? People are not worshiping the singing. They're not worshiping the speaker. They're not worshiping anyone. They are worshiping the Lamb of God. And let me tell you what worship is. Worship is not when we praise someone for their great accomplishment. Worship is not even when you say, boy, that was a great message this morning. That's not worship. Worship is when we say, what a great God that we have in our lives. Look at God. And look, worship brings our eyes to God and gets our eyes off of ourselves and gets our eyes off of everyone else. But it lifts up Jesus to us. That is worship. Oh, listen, if this church just turns into a place where, well, you ought to go to that church. Boy, you know, they've got this and they've got that. But brethren, I pray that we have the presence of God here. And that when people come, they say, boy, what a great God that we have. One day, a man was on kind of a journey. And he wanted to go hear some of the great preachers of the day. And the man went and he heard one of the greatest orators during London, England, during that time. And he went to hear the man. And when he came out of the service, he said, wow, what a preacher. I've never heard better. But then that same man went to hear Charles Haddon Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers. And when he left the service that day, he did not say, wow, what a preacher. He left saying, wow, what a Savior that we have. Well, that is my desire here in this church. And it is the longing of my heart that our eyes would be on Jesus, that we would lift Him up and glorify Him, that Christ would become greater and greater in our eyes, and that we would become less and less. You see something? We all worship something today. What are you worshiping? Are you worshiping your accomplishments in life? Are you worshiping what you can do? Are you worshiping what others think of you? But brethren, when we worship Him, we are lifting Him up. We are glorifying Him. And by the way, you say, well, Pastor, how do I know what I'm worshiping? What do you think about? What controls your thinking? What controls your mind? You see, brethren, may God help us to worship Him. We all worship something. Number two, may I remind you of this. We worship what we value. It's a sad thing for any Christian, or may I say this to you, for any preacher, to get to the place in his life or their life where the preaching of God's Word, the reading of the Bible, prayer time becomes boring to them. Can I ask you a question? I don't want you to answer it, but I want you to think about it. Is God boring to you today? You say, Pastor, that's a pretty blasphemous thing to say, but let's just be honest with ourselves. When God or the Word of God or prayer time or the singing of His of the great hymns of our faith, if any of that has become boring to us, can I tell you, we're not worshiping God. Look here, I don't believe our services should be dead. I don't believe they should be dry. I believe they should be, I guess, electrified with the Spirit of God within them. I believe as we are worshiping the Lord, we are glorifying Him, we are honoring Him. And by the way, look here, worship is not exalting some person. That's not worship. Worship is not when we are looking at someone and we are glorifying them. Worship is when we say, what a great God we have. Oh, I love the Lord and I'm so thankful for Him. Look, I believe all of us know what it is to worship the Lord. I know what it is to enter into that time of worship when I'm praising Him. And in my heart, I am just loving my Heavenly Father, and my heart is so full of God. That's worship. Well, I'll tell you something. The pastor that I grew up with, I thank God for him, Pastor Sexton, he was my preacher. And he means so very much to me. But can I tell you what it was? He enabled me to enter into the preaching services in a spirit of worship. He exalted Jesus Christ. Why? Because he valued him so greatly. What do you value today? Brethren, do you know that we worship what we value? We take care of what we value. And if God is important to you and me, and if God is of great value, we will worship him. We will know him, not about him, but we will be in his presence. You remember Moses? Moses came to that wilderness there, and he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. I think Moses thought his life was pretty much over. And then Moses saw a common bush that was on fire. Now, any other day that Moses came by that same bush, Moses wouldn't have taken his shoes off. But can I tell you this? That day, when God consumed the bush and God made it holy and sacred, then Moses, God told him, Moses, take off thy shoes, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Can I tell you what happens to you and me? When we set aside that time to really worship God, I'm going to tell you what happens. When we enter into that presence, that becomes very sacred. It becomes very holy to you and me. Hey, look, there's places I could take you in Powell, Tennessee. Places where I got along with God and I was in his word and I was in prayer. And boy, that place has become sacred to me. I feel like taking my shoes off because it's holy ground. Why? Because God showed up there. Let me tell you this, that's what I desire for you in your life. I want you to know God. I want you to enter into that worship because that changes everything about us. It cleanses us. It purifies us. It separates us. It enables us to have the right perspective on life. When we are worshiping God, look here, when we worship him, you know what we do? We surrender to our God. We say yes to him. Hey, look, you will have no problem in your home if you will worship God, because when you worship him, it sets all things well. We worship what we value. Now, by the way, how do we worship our God? Go back to John chapter number 4, and I want you to show you this because this is so important. The Bible says in verse 23 of John 4, 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father," notice this, "in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now look, God made every one of us spirit, soul, and body. In my body, I have five senses, all right? This is a great lesson this morning here at Grace Baptist Church, all right? We're not back in school. But in our body, we have senses, do we not? In my soul, I have an intellect and I have a will. But in my spirit, that is where God dwells. Look here. Do you know that there are things that are soulish? Things that affect our soul that does not affect our spirit? I believe people go to church every Sunday and some of them get all stirred up and they have an emotional high, but they do not worship God. Because worshiping God is worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Look here, what is the truth? The Word of God is the truth. And without God's Word, you really cannot worship him. And as God's Word comes in, it's the truth and it sanctifies us and it cleanses us and it sets us right. But we worship God in our spirit. Look here, in our spirit, are you worshiping God? You know, there's lots of things out there today that maybe we get worked up in our souls. You know, I'll be honest with you. Next Sunday, we'll have Armed Forces Day. And just be honest with you, when I hear our national anthem sung, I mean, I get stirred up about that. I really do. When I see all the men and women who have served or are serving in our country, man, I get pulls on the heartstrings of my life. But that is something in my soul. It's not in my spirit. You see, we must not confuse the two or get the two together. Someone might say, well, I cried during that song. I was worshiping God. Not necessarily. Oh, boy, that kind of stirred me up. Hey, look, does anybody get stirred up in an Ohio State football game? I'll say that to be true. But that's not in their spirit. That's in their soul. Their intellect, their will is at work, and they are willing something to happen, and they get excited about that. But look here, brother, it's in our spirit that we worship God. As we yield to Him, as we surrender to Him, as we see Him as He really is. Look here, you only see God as He really is when you see yourself as you really are. You know what we want to do? We want to exalt ourselves above God. But when we are worshiping God, He is greater to us than anything else. We see His righteousness. We see His holiness. We see His perfection. We see His beauty and His glory. And then we see ourselves. And we say as Isaiah, when he said, oh God, Lord, he looked at his own life. And he said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I'm a man of an unclean people. He knew himself because he was worshiping God. Brethren, we worship what we really value. You see, the word worship means worth-ship. It's an old English word that it means we worship what we value. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. If you do not value God for who He really is, you will not worship Him. You see, we place value on certain things. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 15 because I want to show you something here. What a person worships today is what of great value to them. And by the way, let me say this to you, and I want you to remember this. Some people are used of God, and some people just use God. Some people, and by the way, and as dealing with all kinds of things that I deal with as a pastor and with the school, and we have all kinds of businesses that give us bids on things that we do and remodeling and all that. And it always bothers me when someone wants to pull the Christian card on me. And they almost use God, you know. Well, I'm a Christian, Pastor. You need to give me the bid. No, wait a minute. That has nothing to do with anything. Brethren, today, can I tell you this? In some ways, today, it's popular to say, I'm a Christian. It's popular to say. We find it, especially times during politics, do we not? When people want to say, well, I'm a Christian and all that, and you should vote for me because of that. But wait a minute. I want to be used of God. I don't want to use God. And when you and I have the ideal that, well, okay, I'm going to worship God because God will do something for me, you're not worshiping God. If you have the ideal, well, I'm going to come to church because God will do something good for me, that's not worshiping God. And I'm going to do this so God will do something for me, that's not worshiping God. That's using God. You see, that's why I think we're so far from the very ideal of what worship is. Worship is giving Him honor, giving Him glory, giving Him the respect and the allegiance that He deserves. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God alone. But He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who knows every detail of your life and my life. And yet He loves us. He is the one who has mercy upon us when we deserve no mercy. He cares for us when, brethren, we do not care for Him. He is the God of all gods. And He is so near to us today. Brethren, we all worship something today. You're worshiping something this morning. The question is, are you a true worshiper of God? And what we value is what we really worship. Matthew 15, look what the Bible says in verse number 8. And I want you to see this here. Let's start in verse number 7, if you would, please. Matthew 8, or 15, verse number 7. Jesus is speaking. And by the way, He was not a milquetoast preacher. Can I tell you that? Jesus had a backbone about Him. He was a man's man. He spoke this. He said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain, that word vain means empty, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Notice what Jesus said. They act like they are worshiping me, but it's empty. And I want to ask myself this question. How many times have we just played God, you know? We've played church and we've played our Christian life, and it's nothing but emptiness to us. Oh, may God help us today that we would enter into the worship of our Heavenly Father. Are we drawing nigh unto God with our mouth and with our lips, but our heart is far from Him? That's not worship. You see, who has your heart today? What's in your heart? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what's in my heart. It's what you think, it's what you feel, and it's what you want. You see, that gives evidence of what we are worshiping. Number three, and the last thing. Not only do we all worship, and not only do we worship what we value, but number three, and I want you to notice this closely, we become what we worship. Psalm chapter 115, would you turn there, because I want to show this to you. And if you were in the Bible reading with the journal that we give you, you read this verse probably just yesterday. Psalm 115. And the Bible says, let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 1. Do you know that every one of us, we become what we worship? Think of that closely now. So the question is, what are you like today? What are we like? Do we resemble the Lord Jesus Christ? Then it's probably a good indication we've been worshiping Him. Because what you worship is what you become like. You know why? Because worship requires time. By the way, that's a good question to ask us. What do we give our time to? A great amount of our time to. Now, God knows that we have to work and labor and we have to sleep, and He definitely knows we have to eat. Praise God for that, you know? And us Baptists, we do know how to eat here, you know? Now, why is that about us? I don't know. But anyway, God knows we have to have all of that, but it's what we are giving our purposeful time to. That is what we worship, and that is what we are becoming. Have you ever seen a man that worships money? What does he become? Greedy. He's filled with greed. He's filled with covetousness. He is life. Everything out of his life is about what he can get. And whatever he has to do to step over people to get it, he has become what he worships. And by the way, the false gods that we worship, and look, we think that those false gods are images or statues. No, Americans have more false gods than the lands of the heathen lands of today. We have the false gods of greed and materialism, and we have the false god of pleasure. And when we worship that God can never bring you satisfaction. That God can never bring you fulfillment. So the question is, if you're not fulfilled today, if you don't have the joy of the Lord about your life, it is evident that we are worshiping something in vain. Psalm 115, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." Brethren, today we become what we worship. The Bible says the men that made those false gods, and the false gods they were talking about were gods of statues and gods that had ears, but those ears couldn't hear. They were statues of wood or gold or silver. And the Bible says they that make those gods are like unto them. They don't hear either. They don't see either. Brethren, we become like the gods that we worship. Now let's take our Bibles in closing and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Recently, my kids found an old photo album of me that my mom had given me a few years ago. Embarrassing pictures. You know how it is, all right? My mom had dug that up and put it all together and gave it to me. My kids think it's the funniest thing. They said, Dad, look at your clothes. Look at that, you know? That's what I used to say to my parents, you know? And you kids, your kids are going to say that about you one day, all right? My kids say, Dad, look at your glasses. They're huge, you know? And they would say different things. But my wife pointed out, she said, Honey, you were so brown. What in the world? I said, Honey, I lived outside. I only come in when it got dark. But growing up, that's kind of how it was for me. Now, how many of that was you? You just lived outside as a kid and all that. Well, I did. I would pack a lunch. I would pack my BB gun. Had to have that. About 4 or 5 knives. You know, you got to have that. Never know if you have a bear or anything out there. And, man, I'd go out. I'd be gone for the day. I know we live in a different society today. Well, I'd run all over town. If my mom knew the place I'd went, I'd scare her half to death, you know? But can I tell you something? My skin got pretty brown living in Knoxville, Tennessee. Man, I just lived outside. Sunburn all the time, and my skin, it affected me. Why? Because I was in the presence of the sun all the time. Can I say this to you this morning? You look like and become what you worship, what you give your time and attention to. You know, honestly, there's been times in my life when I was just a teenager before I came to know Christ. My dad looked at me one day and said, Son, you are one of the selfish young men, most selfish young men I've ever met. Well, it broke my heart. You know why? Because he was right. I became what I worshiped. I worshiped myself. I worshiped me, my feelings, my wants, my will, my desires, all of that. And you know what? If I could see myself in the mirror, I wouldn't have liked what I'd see. I was ashamed of myself. But there's been many times in my life since I've been saved where I've been worshiping myself or worshiping success or worshiping something other than God. Look here. When you are worshiping God, you become like Him. You act like Him. You think like Him. You look like Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we look in verse number 18. Notice here. Well, let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 17. The Bible says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you have freedom in your life? The Bible goes on to say, But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. Now, that word glass there means like a mirror. As in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know what happens to you and me? We become what we worship. Brethren, today it's very convicting for me. If I am not like Jesus Christ, I'm worshiping something else. And I'm not worshiping Him. By the way, God made you as His children to worship Him. And the Spirit of God who indwells each and every one of us is the Spirit who seeks to worship the Heavenly Father. That's why when we hear something that's not Christ-honoring, we see something that is not pleasing to Jesus Christ, it grieves the Spirit of God. Why? Because He dwells within us. He's our comforter. He is our divine abler. But He seeks to worship the Heavenly Father. That's why, brethren, when we come to the house of God, let us come prepared. Let us come ready. Let us come with our sins confessed. Let us come having spent time alone with God. Let us come for the sole purpose of not to be seen, but to see Jesus and to lift Him up high and holy. I ask you today, and I ask myself, are you a true worshiper of the living God? Do you worship Him? What do you worship? You and I are worshiping something today. And brethren, if you're here without Jesus Christ, can I say this to you? You are really worshiping the devil. Oh, you don't know it, but you are worshiping sin, and the consequences of your sin is death and hell forever. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven who's seeking after you today. And he wants you to be saved and to accept his Son, the gift of God. He's given you a gift. Would you confess your sin and receive the gift? But child of God here today, I want to ask you a question. Are you a true worshiper of the Lord God? What are you worshiping today? What have you become? Oh, brethren, may we come to God today and say, Lord, teach me to worship you. Lord, forgive me for what I have worshiped other than thee. And may God in our hearts be greater and greater and bigger and bigger. And may we lift our eyes upon him. You know what? That worship, it takes time to worship. It takes honesty to worship the Lord. But when we do, it changes everything about us. True worshipers of the living God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.